Very often, that's kind of how we view the meek, as someone who's overlooked, someone who's just the fly on the wall. And you think about it and you say, well, then why would the meek inherit the earth? It doesn't seem right, because it goes against our way of thinking, like everything else that Jesus says here. And you know why it feels strange? It's because Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So the things that I do, no one will think that makes sense. You're not going to look at it and say, well, you know, if someone is bold and they're strong, and that's the person that will inherit. And Jesus says, no, it's the meek. And because you think about it, I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't do things the way the world does. Because the world's wisdom has produced only sin and death and war and disease and confusion. That's the end of man's wisdom when it comes to the kingdom on earth. I'm thankful that Jesus comes and he does things a different way. And he says, you don't get ahead when you push or manipulate or you're aggressive or you self-promote. Jesus says, humble yourself, be repentant over your sin, and be meek. And you think, well, that's just not going to work. Well, I read from Haddon Robinson, who's a Bible expositor, and he said this. He says, if you observe the animal kingdom, it actually reinforces the point that Jesus is making, because it's not always the strongest that rise to the top. For example, you have powerful beasts like lions. And then you have the meek and lowly animals like sheep. And if the animal kingdom was to operate like we think that we're supposed to operate, you would think that the world would be overrun with lions. But there are lions on endangered species lists. And I read this week there's almost 200 million sheep in China alone. So you think about it. We say, well, the meek, you're not going to get ahead being meek. But even in the kingdom that God created on this earth, the animal kingdom, there's proof there that it's not always about who's the strongest, and it's not always about who's the loudest. And that really does throw Darwin's theory of evolution out the window, that the strongest will survive and the strongest will thrive. Well, no, in God's economy, that's not how it works. He says, if you want to inherit the earth, you should be meek. So what is meekness? Well, meekness, according to Webster, it's enduring harm or injury with patience and without resentment. Now, another definition is submissiveness. So when you consider those definitions, and maybe even the way that the word meekness sounds, then you might start to assume that meekness is undesirable, that meekness is weakness. The Greek word is praos, and it means mild or gentle. And the idea, though, is something between two extremes. So understand, this is important that you understand the definition. In Greek culture, meekness was considered a virtue that was balanced between, for instance, too much anger and too little anger. And the idea is that a meek man is not timid, but he's also not given to fits of rage. Aristotle defined it similarly. He said, as the mean between stubborn anger and someone who is incapable of even righteous anger. It's somewhere in the middle. Greek physicians used the idea of meek to describe medicine. If too little medicine is given, it doesn't work. But if too much medicine is given, it can hurt more than it heals. The proper amount can do wonders. It's also described then as a gentle breeze, meaning that wind can rage and do great damage, but when it blows gently, it brings comfort. Now, we're used to the raging winds in South Dakota, but in the heat of the summer, when there's a gentle breeze, it sure is refreshing. And the idea in each of these definitions is there's a balance between the two extremes. It was often used, meekness, as a word to describe a wild horse that had been tamed. A broken horse is still very powerful, but his power is now under the control of the bridle. So it's not weakness. It's balance between two extremes, which is how then the traditional definition of meekness has come to us, and that meekness doesn't mean powerless, it means power under control. It does not mean someone who is weak and someone who is without power. It's someone who has power but refuses to use it for their selfish gain. Here's another way to put it. Meekness is pictured by someone who could, but stops to think whether or not they should. Someone with power that chooses not to exercise it for selfish gain. Not weakness, but power under control. And we could look at many examples. I'm going to show you Numbers chapter 12, an example of meekness that I think you might could have been predicting. It's about the man named Moses. Numbers chapter 12, the man Moses, he was an example of meekness. And I'm not going to read the whole passage to you, but just know this, that Aaron and Miriam in verse 1, that they spake against Moses because of a decision that he had made and married this Ethiopian woman, and they spoke against him, and they were speaking against him, they were undermining his authority, and what they did was wrong. They were stepping out from under his authority, and rather than letting, you know, God do in Moses' life what God wanted to do, they were backbiting, and they were gossiping, and they were speaking out against him. And so look down in verse 10, Numbers 12, 10, it says, "And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous because of what they had done." Then God strikes Miriam with leprosy, verse 11. "And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned." So Aaron appeals to Moses, and he goes and he says, he sees his sister and she's a leper now, and he knows probably his turn is coming. And he goes and he humbles himself before Moses. He begs for mercy because they had sinned, he says. And think about it. In that moment, who had all the leverage? Moses. Moses could have amped it up. He could have been so angry. He could have basically, if you will, stepped on the neck of his own sister and brother and done what he could have that was in his power. He could have gotten Aaron and Miriam killed as an act of justice. He had that kind of relationship, that kind of power, that kind of influence, if you will, with God. Even in this text, in verse 7, it says that Moses spake with God directly, not like anybody else did. He could have done what he wanted. But verse 13 says, "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." What does he do instead? Well, he has all the power, he has all the leverage, but refuses to use it for personal gain. Why? Why would he do that? Well, look back up in verse 3. Numbers 12:3 says, "Now the man Moses was very," what? "Meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." So listen, when you're meek, you have power, but it's controlled. You have power, but it's balanced. And just because Moses could doesn't mean that Moses should. That's meekness. It shows up in Moses' life over and over when the children of Israel were rebellious. He could have said, "Okay, God, wipe him out. You can start over with me." God even made that offer to him at one point. But he didn't, because he was meek. He found balance under control. He put his power under control. It's kind of like driving a fast car. And my son, Jason, and I, last year, we were actually at Brother Chad Berry, who will be preaching here Sunday night. We were at their church, and one of the men from their church had access to this fast electric car and took us for a ride. And, you know, I'm just thinking, well, an electric car, what, you know, it runs on a battery. It's probably not really all that fast. And then we get on this highway, and we're going 30. And he said, "Okay, you ready?" And he stepped on, I was going to say the gas, but he stepped on the accelerator. And we went from 30 to 80 in less than 2 seconds. I mean, boom, boom, just like that. I mean, if you were stuck to the back of your seat. And I look back at Jason. He's like, "Do one of those." It was awesome. I mean, it was a neat experience. And so somebody with a car that fast has a lot of power under the hood. People that drive cars like that have lots of power at their disposal. The problem is not having power. The problem is those that drive cars like that don't know when or when not to use that power. I mean, you have power, but if you're not a good, if you don't have meekness or you don't have power under control, then you will drive and put people at risk and make it dangerous because of your inability to control the power that you have. And just because you can get to 100 on Arrowhead Parkway at 11:30 at night doesn't mean that you should. I sit outside sometimes and I listen and I think, man, there are people going 100 down Veterans Parkway and Arrowhead Parkway. And some of you said, okay, think that's me. So I hope not. You know, the problem is not having the power under the hood. The problem is not being able to control that power when you should. And you say, well, that's Moses. No, Jesus Christ himself said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek, lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He was meek. He says it. Does that mean that Jesus was weak? Not a chance. I mean, think about all the times that he could have and he didn't. When he was tempted in the wilderness, could he have turned those stones into bread? Yep, but he didn't because he had power under control. When he was tempted, or when he was in the garden, he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. I mean, could he have said, I don't want to go to the cross, I'm out? I mean, probably he could have, but he was so submitted to his Father as God in the flesh, he submitted his power to the control of his Father. I mean, when he was on trial, he even told Herod or Pilate, he told him, thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? I mean, a legion is 6,000. Jesus was saying, I could call 72,000 angel warriors with one word. That was within his power, but he controlled it and he submitted it to the Lord. And that is the trait that we must consider tonight, is that meekness is not having power. Meekness is controlling our power or putting it under the control of something else. And in the case that we're speaking of tonight, putting it under the control of the Holy Ghost and his leadership in our lives, is that we, just because we can, doesn't mean we should. You know, and what I love about Matthew 5:5 is it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, I think sometimes, again, we think that somebody who is meek doesn't get noticed. And maybe on earth they don't. But what you know if somebody is mentioned in an inheritance is they got remembered. Meaning this, that the world may not notice a meek person, but God does every time. He notices and blesses the meek. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. Meaning that God sees and remembers you. He sees when you could have spoken back and said the word and said what you wanted to say, but you didn't. He saw it, and he'll bless it. And he saw it when you could have, as an older teen, thrown your weight around with one of the younger guys and made them feel really bad about something. Or girls, one of the older teen girls, being mean about one of the younger teen girls, you could have said something, but you didn't. You know, God sees it, and he blesses it when we choose that. He blesses it when we make decisions not to do what we could do because it may not be what we should do. I gotta think about this. And somebody in spiritual leadership, myself, being in spiritual leadership, I ought to be meek. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, what will you? Shall I come unto you with a rod that wake you up? You know, there are times where a preacher can come with a rod. But Paul said that's not helpful. He said, shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? And I tell you, as a pastor, I have to be careful. I want to be meek. This pulpit it really does give a position then of influence. And anybody that stands behind it, by the way, if you're a man in our church who stands behind this pulpit, this represents influence. And I'm not going to go so far to say, well, this gives me power. But there is some power when you're standing and giving teaching and you're giving doctrine. And anybody that teaches, it doesn't matter if you're teaching the three-year-olds or teaching one of the young people, the children's classes or the youth class or anything, all the way from the bottom all the way to the top. If you stand and you teach, you have influence. You have power, and we ought to be something that we're mindful of, that we don't come with rods, but that we come with love and a spirit of meekness. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't speak, that we don't speak with authority or that we don't speak with passion. But it always ought to be done in a spirit of gentle meekness. Paul said, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence in base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. Doesn't mean that you're not bold, but it does mean you have a spirit of gentleness. Meekness means gentleness. And that I, as your pastor, am to be gentle, firm at times, but with meekness. And as somebody who's trying to be a disciple, like all of us are, we're all to be meek. How are we to be meek? Well, I had more examples. I would give you a few. Galatians 6:1 says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. You know what? There will be times in our church family with each other that someone will make a bad decision, a bad choice. They will fail in some way, and they will be out of fellowship in some way. Could we hold the failures of each other over each other's heads? Yeah, we should, but should we? Or we could, but should we? No. That's the difference between meekness and not having meekness. That we should be a church that strives for restoration. We could hold it over somebody's head. Doesn't mean we should. Ephesians 4:1-2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, forbearing one another in love. Could we be impatient with each other when someone is trying to grow or they make a mistake or they're just kind of one of those people, man, I don't know, I just don't like to be around them. Could we be impatient with each other instead of being humble? Yes. Should we? No. See, we should be long-suffering in love. Titus says, showing meekness unto all men. Paul said that to Titus. Are there some that don't deserve meekness? I mean, we can be honest. Are there some that have hurt us or some that have spoken against us or some that we would say they really, if I'm objectively laying it all out, they just really don't deserve somebody to be meek with them. Are there people that don't deserve it? Let's just be honest. Well, probably, but let's be careful because I don't deserve God's meekness. We should be meek to all men. It means dads, be gentle. And I've done it myself where I speak a word in such a way that I know it damages the spirit of my children. And I come across in a way that it was much harsher than it should have been or much more impatient or much just right in their face. And I said what I said, not even really to help build them up, but to hurt. And I have to be careful of that as a dad because dads have influence. There's a position of power. And I don't know that in our culture, that in the family unit, that there's more, that it's more important for any one person than it is for a dad to have meekness. Be gentle with your wife. Be gentle with your children. Be gentle with everybody. Some of you say, well, I'm just a bull in a china closet. Well, we know. But we're not talking about personality. We're talking about Christ-likeness. We're talking about making the choices that a disciple makes, a be attitude, in families with each other. Be patient with each other. You know, it's a shame at times that families will often speak to each other with more shortness or more impatience than you do with strangers. It ought not be that way at home. Be humble with each other. If you've got to speak the truth, do it gently and humbly. Be measured, not on one extreme or the other. That's the idea. With church members, with each other, show love to each other, be humble with each other. And we must at times be speaking the truth in love, but we must do it gently. It just because it's right and just because maybe there's an offense doesn't mean that we approach it with, you know, guns blazing. And sometimes that can happen, but that's not the spirit of Christ. He says, be meek. Which means be gentle, be mild, be measured, be balanced. And the point that I want to give you tonight, just because we can do it one way doesn't mean we should. So how much control do you have over the things in your life? Your tongue, your temper, your reactions. Those are a sign of whether or not we're meek. How do you treat those around you that you maybe have the upper hand over? Someone who maybe you're an experienced, mature Christian, and there's a new Christian that may not have as many things together as you do. You wield power over them. But how do you treat them? Because that's the sign of meekness or not. How do you deal with those that have failed or sinned against you? Because you could hold it over their head, but should you? Well, not if you're trying to be like Jesus. The world thinks the meek will be overlooked. But I'm very thankful, according to Matthew 5:5, God always sees when we're meek, and he blesses us. There is an inheritance, meaning, friends, listen, being meek doesn't negate you getting notice when it comes to God and his rewards. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meaning, you may be overlooked by the world, but God always sees it. I'm so very thankful for this principle of discipleship. Blessed are the meek. Let's stand together, and we'll have a verse of invitation here tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the work that you did in my own heart about meekness, and I pray that you'd help us all to consider just because we can doesn't mean we should. Just because it's within our power doesn't mean that it's right to wield it however we want. I pray that you'd help us in the way that we speak to each other. I pray that you'd help us in our temper and our anger. I pray that you'd help us in being patient with one another. I pray that you'd help us in our homes to be gentle with each other. I mean, speak the truth when necessary, but to do it in the spirit of meekness, which is a gentle spirit that Jesus Christ showed over and over and over to those that he could have shown his power to. But instead, he controlled it. He was measured, and I pray that you'd help your people here tonight, your disciples, to be as measured as you are in the area of meekness. We love you. We need you. Pray that you'd help us to be submissive to your will tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.